We are at the midway point of the midway point of the midway point of the baseball season, of the midway point of the All-Star break. So I thought it was a good night to maybe take a little bit of a break from baseball, not for the entire show, but to start the show. I think it's time to bring in the football into the conversation. And the word that I'm going to focus on is expectations. I, for one, have giant expectations this year for the Giants. You hire John Harbaugh, you bring in a CEO, an adult in the room, a guy that has had a tremendous career, he comes with a terrific resume, and you pair John Harbaugh with Jackson Dart, a quarterback that in many ways, you know, took the league by storm as far as a rookie is concerned. And he certainly took this town by storm. And he provided sports fans, Giant fans, my fellow Giant fans, with the most important thing that you can provide a sports fan outside of a championship. And that is hope. Jackson Dart represents hope. Because if you find that quarterback in the NFL, that is the fast track to success. That puts you in the boat where the Chiefs are, where the Bills are, where the Seahawks are now, where the Ravens are, where the Eagles are, where the Rams are, where year in and year out, you're consistently good, you're in the playoffs, and you have a chance to win a Super Bowl. And when then you pair that quarterback with the head coach, the likes of John Harbaugh, that's where you can create magic. And last year we saw three examples, whether it was the Patriots, whether it was the Bears, whether it was the Jaguars, of three teams with young quarterbacks and a new head coach, and all three had, in the case of the Patriots, which was extraordinary success, they got to the Super Bowl, but all three teams got to the playoffs. Pats, Super Bowl, Bears, divisional round, Jags, they made the playoffs. Three young quarterbacks, three new head coaches. Now you have the Giants, young quarterback, new head coach. That marriage alone should equal a lot of success for the Giants, and I expect that success right out of the gate. To me, this is not a rebuilding year. This is not a year where you look for the bright side of things if they improve on their record by a couple of wins, and that's a building block for the 2027 season. To me, the Giants should be on the fast track to success here based on quarterback, head coach. The two most important things in football. And oh, by the way, the Giants' offensive line last year played as good as they have played in years. The Giants spent a top 10 pick on an offensive lineman in this past draft. Oh, by the way, the Giants defense, and I know Dexter Lawrence is no longer here, but you spent another top 10 pick on a defensive player, and this should be a defense, especially on their front, that wreaks havoc on opposing quarterbacks. The linebacking core, which has had its struggles, to say the least, but now you add Edmonds, you add Reese, you've added two, I think, guys that will make major impacts on this linebacking core. And all of a sudden, this Giants team, not perfect, they do have things that worry you a little bit, secondary, wide receiver, Malik Nabers and his availability is going to be a major storyline throughout the summer. But I've said this ever since John Harbaugh was hired by the Giants. And that is, I have giant expectations for this season. Because I think that highly of Harbaugh, I think that highly of Dart. And I love what, and I know many of you have besmirched Joe Shane, although John Harbaugh certainly likes the job that Joe Shane has done. Upper management has liked the job that Joe Shane has done, and that's why they kept him around and extended his contract. But this roster, because to me with the Giants, it was always about coaching. It was never about personnel. If you look at last year, the Giants were a mess in terms of coaching, and it got worse and worse and worse. So many blown leads, lack of leadership amongst the coaches, just a rudderless ship. And that led to a lot of disappointing and gut-wrenching losses where the Giants had leads in games and they blew it. You can go through the schedule last year for the Giants and you can point out several games where if they had a better coaching staff, those L's would have turned into W's. More than any other sport, coaching matters in the NFL. It can mean the difference from a 3 or 4 win season and a 10 win season. Just ask the Patriots, just ask the Bears, just ask the Jaguars. Ask the Chiefs. Where were they before Andy Reid? Coaching really matters. And it starts at the top. It starts with your leader. It starts with your CEO. And who better to take over the reins here than Harbaugh? You know, the Giants tried the coordinator route several times with some success. 1 year with McAdoo, 1 year with Dable, where they made the playoffs. But outside of that, it's been a bleep show. And the Giants sunk essentially to the bottom of the ocean and the depths of the NFL that a few teams have habitated really for a long time, and the Giants joined those ranks. And once you start to dig that hole and climb into that hole, it's hard to get out of it because you build a losing culture. And losing culture can be infectious, where you bring in free agents, you draft players, you make trades, and those players come into that culture and they end up getting swallowed by it. And losing, it becomes contagious. And I think that's what happened with this Giant franchise. But when you hire Harbaugh and he walks in that door, this is a guy that only knows winning. This is a guy that comes from a family of winners, success, division titles, a Super Bowl, the most road playoff victories of all time, an over 600 winning percentage, culture builder. John Harbaugh doesn't know losing. All he knows is winning. And he is going to teach this Giant team, this young Giant team, the most valuable lesson that you could teach football players. And that is how to win. How to win. Those are the margins. There are the awful teams, there are the great teams, and then everybody else is sort of clumped in and the coaching really comes into play. And if you know how to win, you can be a 5-win team with a bad coaching staff or a 9-win team and make the playoffs with a good coaching staff. Because that coaching staff knows how to win, and they instill that in their players. And I think that's going to happen overnight with this Giants team. I love what I heard from John Harbaugh yesterday in an interview that he did, where because this is something that was a huge topic of conversation last year, because it was another brutal year for the Giants. So when the team is bad, it becomes less about, whoa, they should have won this game, or they got this big game coming up. It becomes more about big picture. And the big picture conversation last year with the Giants was the health of Jackson Dart, which was completely and utterly overblown, in my opinion. And then the discourse of, hey, Jackson Dart shouldn't be a runner. He needs to be a pocket passer. You have to take that part out of his game. You have to put the training wheels on him. You have to neuter Jackson Dart because you don't want him in the blue medical tent. You don't want the concussions to pile up. You want him on the field. You don't want another Tua situation, whatever the case may be. That was the cloud that hung over the Giants last year. And it's all you heard on this radio station. It's all you saw on social media. When you hire John Harbaugh, and this is a guy that led Lamar Jackson, of course, with the talents that Lamar has as well, to 2 MVPs. And I'm not saying Jackson Dart is Lamar Jackson, but Jackson Dart, I think, brings things to the table that Lamar Jackson does. So it was great to hear from John Harbaugh yesterday when he said, we are planning on utilizing Jackson Dart the same way we utilized Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Because say what you want about Lamar when the playoffs come around, and that's a different animal. But in the regular season, Lamar Jackson has been one of the most successful quarterbacks of his generation. Multiple MVPs, a winner, a guy that has had a ton and ton of success and put up big numbers in the regular season. And he hasn't always had the most amount of skill position players to work with. So I loved hearing that. I still have a smile on my face after hearing that because I don't want to put the training wheels on Jackson Dart. I don't want to take that out of his game, the running. The excitement, the electricity that Jackson Dart brought here because of that is a major part of his game. And it's a major part of the modern NFL. The pocket passer is a dying breed. The Matthew Staffords of the world, as great as he is, I mean, he won the MVP, I'll give you that, but also Matthew Stafford has one of the greatest arms in the history of the NFL. If you look around the sport, most of the top quarterbacks, if not all of them outside of Stafford, they are dual threat quarterbacks. Some run more than others, but most, if not all of them, have it in their repertoire. Jackson Dart has it in his repertoire. So why on earth would you take it out of there and make him less of a player? To me, that makes no sense. I'm all for look both ways before you cross the street, but I'm not for look six ways before you cross the street. I think you could look two, you could even look three or four if you want, but then at some point you have to cross the street. And you can't be afraid of Jackson Dart getting injured. You have to just let him loose and let him cook and hope that not only the knowledge that Harbaugh will instill on him, but also Jackson Dart maturing. I mean, look, he was a rookie last year. The Giants were a mess. The franchise was in a state of just awfulness. And Jackson Dart, I think, put it on his shoulders to be a savior and try to make all these great and exciting plays because so much pressure and so much excitement was put on his plate from the fans, from the coaching staff. I mean, a few times, I think Brian Daboll ran into the blue medical tent just to pull him out of there. It's like your mom when she pulled you on, by the ear to get you away from the swing set and from the playground. But Jackson Dart, and the reason Daboll did that is because Dart represented hope for Daboll. He represented hope for Shane. He represented hope for, most importantly, us as Giant fans. But that doesn't mean you put bubble wrap on him. That doesn't mean you lock him in the basement forever and don't let him ever come out because we're afraid of him getting hurt. That doesn't fly with me, and thankfully it doesn't fly with Harbaugh. And the Giants have done a lot this offseason to protect Jackson Dart. They, instead of drafting Caleb Downs, which is the direction I would have went, and I know a lot of my fellow Giant fans agree with me on that, I think Caleb Downs is going to be awesome, and it sucks that the Cowboys drafted him, but it's impossible to argue with drafting an offensive lineman in the top 10. It's impossible to argue with that, especially when you have a young quarterback. It's your most prized possession, Jackson Dart is. So you want to protect him. And you want to have a strong offensive line. And you look at the recipe of the Baltimore Ravens and what led to a lot of their success. And that was power running game, Lamar Jackson not only being a passer but also a runner, physical on both fronts. And that's exactly what the Giants did in the first round. Reese, offensive lineman, you know, linebacker, just the lunch pail championship, nothing flashy, but stuff that leads to championships. You also sign a fullback, you establish a power eye, a power running game. And I think that's not only the strategy of a John Harbaugh coach team, really both Harbaughs when you think about it, but also it's out of necessity because this idea that the Giants are going to be this high-flying, throw the ball all around the map type of team, that's going to be difficult to do without Malik Nabers. Now, I like Darnell Mooney. I do. Anytime I saw him or I was flipping on the Red Zone or whatever, DirecTV, and I caught highlights of him or whatever, or watched part of his game because the Falcons aren't necessarily always on prime time or in the big slots here in New York, but he's a guy that can make plays. He's a deep threat. He could do some things. I've always been a big supporter of Isaiah Likely. I think he is going to make a massive splash here with the Giants. Sort of underutilized with the Ravens, and no fault to John Harbaugh of the Ravens. I mean, when you have Mark Andrews, and no disrespect to Theo Johnson, but Theo Johnson's not Mark Andrews. Plus, I think Isaiah Likely is going to be more of a slot receiver anyway. You lost Wandale Robinson, and I have no issue with that. Let the Titans overpay for him, and I understand why Tennessee did that. That's not to slight Wandale Robinson, but I think Isaiah Likely can fit in nicely in that slot receiver role slash tight end. And I think he'll make a big impact with this team because we saw the relationship that Theo Johnson and Jackson Dart had, a tight end slash slot receiver, and the same thing with Robinson and Dart. That could be the quarterback's best friend. And I think Isaiah Likely, because there were a lot of moves in the offseason, and most of them I agreed with. Likely, to me, is the one that kind of flew under the radar because he was essentially a backup with the Ravens. But any chance he got an opportunity to play, whether Mark Andrews was hurt or they utilized both tight ends, Isaiah Likely always impressed me. In fact, I thought at some point he was just going to take the job there away from Andrews in Baltimore. It just didn't pan out that way. But I can understand why A, Likely left there because he didn't ultimately get that starting gig. And you want to go follow Harbaugh. Makes sense? Because Harbaugh is a guy that has a great relationship with a lot of his players. Because as much as he's a no-nonsense guy, I think he's a fair head coach and he's a winning head coach. You know how I feel about Odell Beckham Jr. I know he's not the most popular person around here. See, that's always tough to gauge. Because I think if we were to just say, call up now, give me your thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr., you'd have a lot of people that either don't like him in a sports way or people that do love him. Because it's kind of like, Beckham reminds me a lot of Carmelo. There's a lot of Melo supporters. There's a lot of Melo detractors. But much like Carmelo Anthony, Odell Beckham Jr., for a lot of Giant fans, it represents their favorite player, the guy that gave them the most excitement. And then for others, there's the, well, in my day, you know, so you have that sort of conflict. But the Beckham that the Giants brought in is not the Odell Beckham across the board that used to be here. Talent-wise, he's nowhere near that player anymore. Injuries, age, etc. And I think also his attitude or mentality is not the same anymore. I think he's been humbled, and I think he's also very gracious to this organization. Number one, for drafting him, for giving the opportunity to excel in the NFL, ultimately win a Super Bowl with the Rams, make a lot of money, but also the fact that they're giving him a chance here. I think that says a lot about the Giants. And it's going to be surreal seeing him this summer in a Giants uniform. And I hope the best for him. I do. And I think it's a low-risk, high-reward situation with him. If Beckham can, forget even turning back the clock, if Odell Beckham Jr. can be a veteran presence in the locker room, if he can be a good mentor to a guy like a Jackson Dart or a Malik Nabers, if he can make a play every now and then, I'm totally cool with that. Let's be real here. We're talking about a team that has rostered Darius Slayton for how many years now? You're telling me that Odell Beckham Jr. can't be better than that, or at least on par with that? It's not exactly like the Giants have had the greatest wide receiver room over the last a million years. So I have no issue taking a chance on that. You're telling me Odell Beckham Jr. is not better than Jalin Hyatt? Jalin Hyatt, I feel like he's been around for 10 years. So I like the idea of bringing Odell back. Same thing with Juju Smith-Schuster. Bringing a veteran presence. And this is also Malik Nabers insurance. Now, Berrios is a different situation because obviously with the injuries and the special teams, I think Berrios profiles more as a special teams guy. But still, same thing with Calvin Austin. But you beefed up your wide receiver core. I still think the identity of this team is going to be power eye, run the rock, run the football. And I think that will be a successful strategy. And also, if you are afraid of Jackson Dart getting hurt, a safe strategy. But the running game will be Tracy, it will be Scat, and it will also be Dart. And that will present a lot of problems for opposing defenses. And then you have some big play threats or some guys that Dart can get the football to that can do some things once the rock's in their hands. And then the defense, which I always attributed to coaching. I'm sorry. You have this type of talent on defense, and you can't get the best out of them. To me, that's inexcusable. On paper, and I get the NFL's not played on paper, but on paper, the Giant defense should be a hell of a lot better than it's been in recent years. And they have put so much money and draft capital on that side of the ball that to me, it's now or never for them to ascend to one of the best units in football. Like, there's no more excuses. You bring in Harbaugh, you bring in a new regime, a culture-building regime, a guy that's had a lot of success and good defenses in Baltimore. This defense needs to be... This is where I have the conflict of the Caleb Downs situation, because I feel like the Giants need that leader in the back of their defense in the secondary and a game changer. But I understand the offensive line. I do. I mean, Maui, no, I get it. You want to protect your most valuable possession. So I was torn there. I really was. And let's be real. Probably in a different world, if the Jets don't pass on Arvell Reese, the Giants would have had Downs and Maui Noah. So in theory, the Giants would have had both of them. But because the Jets passed on him, Arvell Reese, it fell into the Giants' lap. You take the best player available, and you can use him at linebacker, which is a group on this team that certainly needed an upgrade, which they did with Edmonds, but you needed more than just that. So I have giant expectations this year. I'm curious what your expectations are. 888-808-1019. For me, it's make the playoffs. Win total can vary. I can go 8 wins. I can go 9 wins. I can go 10 wins. Whatever gets them in the playoffs. I'm not going to go nuts and say 12-13. Some people might think 10 wins is kind of crazy. But for me, I'm thinking of a number that gets me into the playoffs. So whether that's 8, 9, or 10. And I will be... Now, this is assuming everybody's healthy, the whole deal. But I will be extremely disappointed and aggravated if this team misses the playoffs. I will be. Because you don't hire Harbaugh. You don't bring in a coach like that to improve on your record from last year by a win or two. That doesn't fly with me. It doesn't. So I don't want to be sold a bill of goods of, well, it's rebuild. Mm-mm. Not in the NFL, not when you have the coach and quarterback. That should be success. That should be, and look at this defense. Now, I will put a little asterisk, Dart staying healthy, Neighbors coming back at a reasonable time, Scat staying healthy. There are, of course, injuries, and that's a big part of the NFL that injuries happen, but this is where the depth comes into play. And I still think the Giants are in a situation where they're building that depth. It's been a problem through the years, the depth. But assuming they get luck in that department, I expect this team in the playoffs. And if they're not there, I would deem it a major disappointment. Now, we'll get into the Jets coming up as well. I have a 5 to 10 year plan for the Jets. I'm not fully, because if you remember, Positive Tommy was hired by the Jets, and then I was subsequently fired by the Jets. And when I say the Jets, I mean Evan Roberts hired me as a representative of the Jet fans here on the radio station. Evan hired me to be Positive Tommy for the Jets, and then he fired me, I think, like 2 weeks later. So I'm not looking to get rehired by the Jet fan base. I'm not. I have enough things I got to deal with the Met fan base, the Islander fan base, and then, of course, the Knicks. I'm straight here. Obviously, everybody's happy with me. And then the Giants. You don't always get Positive Tommy with the Giants. Well, there's a reason for that. The Giants are one of the best franchises ever in the NFL. They don't necessarily need my positivity. And the Giant fan base, although as of late, isn't as positive, but you get the idea there. And I'm certainly very positive with them, but I point out things when they need to be pointed out. So I'm not looking to be hired by the Jets, but I do look at the Jet fan base. I look at a long-suffering fan base. Remember, you can't say Jet fan without long and suffering in front of it. And for whatever reason, and maybe summer breeds optimism, for whatever reason, July is a very optimistic month for Jet fans. It is. It doesn't matter what the situation is, what happened last year, what they're walking into this year. There is a percentage of Jet fans that when July rolls around, they are just optimistic about their season. Unfortunately for them, that optimism lasts till about mid-September. And then they realize they're in for another long season. I think you're in for another long season, but I do think hope is around the corner. I do have a 5 to 10 year plan for the Jets. I do. I think the Knicks are a perfect model and a perfect example of what the Jets could end up being. And I'm saying this as a Giant fan. I have no ill will. I hope that you can get there, because no fan base, take any fan base in this town, except for the Rangers. They could suffer as long as forever. I'm teasing, but There is no fan base that should have to go through what the Jet fan has had to go through. You've served your sentence. It's time to not have to deal with the pain and suffering and torture from a sports perspective any longer. Now, you're not winning the Super Bowl this year. You're not going to the playoffs. But this could be the first step in the Jets finding their Jalen Brunson. Finding the guy that can turn their franchise around and ultimately win. And I'm pulling for you. I am. That's why I've devised this plan. I'm not looking to be hired by the Jet fan base. I'm not positive Tommy is a Giant fan. I'm not going to do that. But I will create this plan for you. And I will give my thoughts on the Jets, not only this year, but also that plan. That's coming up. Plus your calls on the Giants. We'll get into the baseball a little bit later on in the show. Trade deadline, Yankees, Mets. We'll do an Ask Tommy Anything coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. I'll explain what that is throughout the show here. It is After Hours. It is Positive Tommy here in primetime. Tommy Lugauer on the Fan. We'll get to my Jet expectations and also my 5 to 10 year plan for the Jets, how they can become and get to where the Knicks are. Because the Jets are where the Knicks were. A situation where they'll never win with this owner, right? We heard that for how many times over about the Knicks and James Dolan? They'll never win as long as James Dolan owns the Knicks. Well, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the Knicks just won a title and James Dolan owns the Knicks. And now we hear that about Woody Johnson. The Jets will never win as long as Woody Johnson owns the Jets. If Patrick Mahomes decided to join the Jets tomorrow and bring Andy Reid with him, you think the Jets are going to win a Super Bowl? If Woody Johnson is their owner, my point is that you have to hire the right people, and maybe the Jets have done that. I think Muji is further along than Glenn is. This is a huge year for Aaron Glenn, and he's kind of in a weird spot because if the team is successful, and by successful I mean 5 or 6 wins with Geno Smith, it kind of puts the Jets in a tough spot because you could make the argument that, all right, we're going to keep Glenn, but we're in a situation where we might not be able to get the optimal quarterback because we're drafting not in the top 5 picks. And I understand you can go through the league and say, well, this quarterback was drafted there and this guy. I've heard it all. The point is that I think the Jets are best served to be picking with the number 1 overall pick so that they have the choice of who they want to select. And we'll get into this more coming up. But I'll just say this now, and I've said it before, but new audience, new day, perhaps you forgot I've said it. I, for not one second, don't buy, just like I don't buy the Jets will never win with Woody Johnson as their owner. Don't buy it. And I don't buy this one. Arch Manning will never come to the Jets. Really? You've spoke to Arch Manning. You know that? You have the knowledge. Arch Manning, you and Arch Manning, you text each other, you email each other. You know that for a fact. I don't buy it. I really don't. And I'll lay out later why I don't buy it. But for people to be so definitive, like Arch Manning will never come to the Jets. Never. And then you'll bring up, well, look what Eli did. Yeah, Eli came to New York. He didn't want to go to San Diego. We're talking about a New York team. All the great things that this city provides for you can be provided for you whether you're on the Giants or the Jets. Ask Joe Namath. Ask Boomer. Was it better being the quarterback in New York or Cincinnati? Come on. This is New York. And I think Jackson Dart built for this city, and I've said that. I mean, look, now he's got a girlfriend, but this is a guy that doesn't have a hard time getting a date on a Saturday night. You know, he kind of fits the rock star celebrity quarterback. And when it comes to a Manning, he could just talk to one of his uncles and hear about all the great things that New York provides for you, not only during your career, but after your career, where you can't turn on the television and not see a Manning these days. That one bothers me. Arch Manning will never come to the Jets. Unless Arch Manning comes out and says that, then as far as I'm concerned, it is a possibility. But the only way you can get an Arch Manning, or let's just say the Jets don't fall in love with Arch Manning, or let's just say, because I thought Arch played a lot better football the back end of his first year starting in Austin with the Longhorns. Arch might have a bad year, and his stock may drop, and all of a sudden, he's not the top quarterback. We have an entire college football season to play out, and we'll find out at the end, you know, someone else might emerge. Nobody thought Mendoza was going to be the number one overall pick. Nobody thought the Hoosiers were going to win the national championship. I'm sure even the Indiana Hoosiers didn't think that. So many things are left to be played out here. But I am not, and I know I'm going to hear it, because I'm going to bang the drum, at least through the summer, and then we'll see how the season's going. But I'm going to bang the drum for Arch. Not necessarily, and I'm not telling you he's going to be the best or that's the guy to get. But what I can't hear is, well, Arch Manning's not coming to the Jets. You don't know that. You don't know that. You have your Jet glasses on, and not in a positive way, in a negative way. You're just thinking about the Jets as far as... We could have said the exact same thing about the Knicks. Jalen Brunson came here. So all it takes is one person to say, you know what? I do want to go there. I do want to turn that franchise around. And again, it's New York. I understand the Giants are, they have more prestige than the Jets. They've been a better franchise. They are we want to go the big brother, little brother route, but the Jets are still a New York team. And they're a football team, too. So that if the Jets ever got good and they had a great quarterback, that quarterback would be a rock star around here. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get more into the Jets later on. We'll start with the Giants because my expectations are a playoff appearance, 8, 9, 10 wins, whatever gets them there. So those, to me, are giant expectations. And if those expectations are not met, I'm going to be extremely disappointed, barring injuries, obviously, but major injuries. But to me, that's where the bar is for this team. Let's head out to Justin in Dobbs Ferry. He's the first caller here on After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. What's going on, Justin?
What's up, Tommy? I need to see this identity of this Giants team coming in these first four games, being 1-3, 1-3, and 2-2 in the last 3 years. We need to beat Dallas. We got the Rams.
Yep, tough schedule.
I need to see this identity of this coach and, you know, make a positive impact in September. You know, we need to come out at least 2-2, 3-1, and get this, you know, ball rolling with this team.
Yeah, I don't want to do the win-loss type of stuff, but if we look at
I just can't go 1-3.
No, of course. I think you're right. I think you're right on.
Out of a hole.
Yeah, I think 2-2 is a fair expectation when you look at the first four games. I think a 2-2 record is a very fair expectation. I think that is right about where they should be. If they can go 3-1, amazing. But I think 2-2 is a good little place for them to be, especially when you consider new head coach. I expect a little bit of a learning curve in the beginning, but by week 5 or 6, I want this team to kind of turn it on, and then really they're off to the races.
Right, and you hope, like you said, with likely coming in this offense, you kind of knowing Harbaugh and what they want to do. Hopefully they come out like, you know, the tight end's a quarterback's best friend. Hopefully, you know, he's got the people around him to make those little dunk offs, those little flip passes. You know, keep the ball moving, keeping the positive on the positive side of the 50.
Yeah, I mean, look, without Neighbors, you don't have that splash player, you don't have that superstar, but I do think the depth that they have, and they brought in a million wide receivers, they have a crowded running back room, and then also the ability for Dart to run. I think they have enough answers on offense to move the football, to score points, and then you just need the defense to hold the lead, which they were unable to do a lot last year, and that's just where the pressure is going to be on them, and they need to answer the bell. I mean, there's just so much talent on that side of the ball. At some point, they have to ascend to be a unit that stops teams, and then I think the Giants all of a sudden will turn a lot of these losses that they've had over the last couple of years into wins.
Yeah, 100%. So, I'm excited to see Jackson Dart with a full year. You know,
same.
Another year of working. Hopefully, Scottaboo comes back.
Yep.
Somewhat healthy.
Yeah, I mean, the news on Scottaboo has been a hell of a lot better than, if you read between the lines, and this has really been from day one, the news on Scottaboo and the talk around Scottaboo has been a lot more positive as far as his return than Neighbors. Neighbors, to me, sounds, it's murky. I think he could come. I expect Scott to be back for preseason to be ready to go for week one. Like, I don't have any sort of trepidation there. Neighbors, I think, is a totally different animal. I'm at a loss for when he's coming back.
Yeah, it's going to be almost like a trade deadline acquisition, basically, at week seven or eight.
Here's what I would say about Neighbors. Whether it's week one, week three, week seven, I just want the Malik Neighbors that we saw before the injury to be there when he gets back. Because that's the thing that you got to worry about a little bit, is that is he going to be the same player, that explosiveness because of the severity of the injury? Is he going to be that same player? So it's more about that to me than it is the week that he returns.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and we need that. You know, he was so dynamic, and you can't lose that. I mean, that's our A-plus player right there.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, Justin. It just totally changes the game as far as... Now, Odell Beckham, to his credit, he learned how to be, and maybe Odell can teach Malik this, and we're hoping for the best for Malik. I always try to be positive when it comes to things like that, but there have been instances where guys have had that injury and then were never the same, Beckham being one of them. But Beckham learned how to adapt to that, and he, in that run with the Rams, where he probably would have won Super Bowl MVP, he had a huge run in the playoffs there for the Rams, and then in the Super Bowl, he was having an awesome half until he got hurt. But he was a different receiver, but he was still an effective one. And even if you lose your explosiveness as a player, that's where you... Because Malik Neighbors, his entire life, he's known as being that explosive wide receiver. If that explosiveness is gone, and hopefully it's not, but if it is, that's where he has to learn to adapt. The good news is this Giant offense, I think, is going to be very similar to the Ravens, where it is smash mouth. It's running the football. It's power eye. And then they get their big plays when they can get them. So they're not going to be like overly reliant on, boy, if Malik Neighbors isn't a 1,500-yard receiver or something, we're going to be in big trouble if that's not the case. From what I see and from what I'm thinking about based on Harbaugh's history and the makeup of this team, I don't think that they're going to need Neighbors to be that, per se. So he can adapt his game anyway, but if he has to out of necessity because of the injury, I still think the Giants are going to be an effective offense and an explosive offense, because you can be explosive offense with your running game, and then you can get those explosive plays in your passing game because your running game is so strong. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Paul. He joins us on the Fan. What's up, Paul?
Tommy, how you doing, Luigi?
What's up?
I will say I got more arguments about the dart running game last year than I'm more crazy about defending him than you are, because it was just so overrated in terms of him being reckless.
Yep, it was over the top.
When he got hurt,
reaction. Yep.
Tommy, when he got hurt, it was on a fumble where he reached for the ball and... Yep. He hit his head on the turf. If he had held that football, he would have dove forward, and we would have gone in for another touchdown behind Dart. It just, the guy got popped against, on the sidelines against New England, right? Mm-hmm. Stupid there.
Yep.
Dumb. A couple of other plays, but there were like three or four on the entire year.
Yeah, he had one where he led with his head into a defender, which was just dumb, to say the least.
Yeah,
but young and dumb.
Really early in the year, he tried to club somebody or something, you know, like, he had about four stupid ones, right?
But yeah, and also, by the way, he was a rookie. He's a rookie, so you expect, ask Tiki, rookies are dumb, right? Rookies make dumb mistakes, and especially when you're the quarterback, you're trying to be the savior, and I think that was a lot more to do with it, and I don't think that's a representation of who Jackson Dart is as far as his decision-making.
No.
As far as recklessness.
And he ain't running the football. He knows how to do it very well. He's good at it.
Yep.
And then overall, Tommy, the Giants I know you said it's Harbaugh and Dart together, but they added a lot, right? Our middle linebacker play is going to be way better.
Yes.
Way better. I think Holland had a down year. He'll be a little bit better. I think Hood is like... That was a sneaky pick by us right there. That kid, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, he dropped a little bit. The Giants scooped him up. Yes.
Yep. On the offensive side, I think getting the guard was a good thing. I'm not as down on not getting downs as you. I think we got the better player in Reese, right? So that works out. And then it looks like our center might have hit his weight room puberty finally. So he looks a little better over the summer.
Well, I'm optimistic about the offensive line. I mean, they played well last year.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, they think they could turn Evan Neal around. Hey, why not? If you feel up to it, go ahead. I'm not, in a Harbaugh we trust. That's what I would say.
I'm not so sure.
No, I'm not either, but you know what? Why not? I'm not so sure about that either.
But you're right. He added the tight end, you know, and I'll end it for you with this, that I'm a guy who's saying week 8 for our boy.
Yeah, for now.
I don't think he's coming back quick. I think those injuries take a lot of time. Even when you go back to Saquon, he wasn't the same for a year coming back. Like, it takes time for the skill players to be able to move. And I think when you look at all the stuff we've seen of him, he's a little gimpy, right? Like, he hasn't looked great walking around doing things.
No, he's still got a long way to go. I mean, that's just really the bottom line.
Yeah.
He's not ready. He's not going to be ready. I don't expect him, and I appreciate the call, Paul. I don't expect him out there week 1. I should probably text the guys and try to remember. But I feel like when we did our predictions, or the guy, Evan and Tiki and Sean, did their predictions without me, I don't remember if I was still on the show. But my memory is that Tiki predicted more week 6, week 7. And I trust Tiki in these situations. Not that I don't trust the other guys, but Tiki is in the know and played in the NFL. So I trust his expertise when it comes to something like that. So I think you're on to something there. Week 6, week 7, week 8. That's probably when we're going to see Neighbors. I wish we were seeing him week 1. It's never sounded that way. It's never sounded that way. Where with Scataboo, it has. They've been way more, the Giants have, optimistic, and I think in their wording, which can be a bit vague, but I understand that. It's injuries, and you don't know. You don't want to. And with injuries, you don't want to promise something or say something, and then it's worse, because that's where the fans get nuts. We saw this with Aaron Judge. You know, you don't want to say, well, Aaron will be back August 1st, and then when he's not back August 1st, it's, oh, the Yankees are lying to us, and they keep everything secret. People get nuts with that stuff. So if you, I think it's the over-promise or under-promise, over-deliver type of thing, but you want to be, you don't want to say it's a certain date, and then it's nowhere near that date, and then all of a sudden fans are screaming and yelling because we expected this player back, let's say, week 2, and then all of a sudden it's week 6, and the player's not back yet. But when it comes to Scat, I expect Scataboo to be back week 1. Like, from everything we've heard, from everything, and that was a brutal injury too. And I don't expect Cam Scataboo to be any different. Cam Scataboo knows one style of playing football. That's it. And he will play that style of football until the wheels fall off. So that's another guy. You're not going to say, hey, Cam, just do this differently, do that differently. That's what makes Cam Scataboo is his running style and the way that he initiates contact and all that stuff. And he was a huge part of this team last year. You know, along with Dart, like, that combination really added such a spark, especially to offense. Like, this offense for years did not have a true identity. They really didn't. And Dart and Scataboo provided that. And it was just soul-crushing, especially for Dart. You saw it on his face. Obviously, they have a friendship. It took a lot of the life out of the team. You know, it's crazy to think, like, the Giants last year was such a weird year because we know how it started with, I was first on this, and I wasn't last on it, but it was embarrassing that they brought in Russell Wilson, especially because you brought in Jameis Winston already. And I know I continue to harp on this, but I'm going to continue to harp until I get a real answer. I need an answer on this. Why on earth did they bring in Russell Wilson when they had already brought in Jameis Winston, who is better than Russell Wilson now? And obviously Russ went to go be on TV, which is the right move. He can't play anymore. Jameis Winston, on any given day, could throw for 500 yards. He is a great backup, Winston. He's great for the locker room. He is the perfect plug-and-play quarterback if your guy goes down for a week or two, because you can win games with Jameis. He could throw the football around the field. And like I said, he's a great for the locker room guy, great with the media, great spokesman, all that stuff. So it made no sense to me that they brought in Russell Wilson, and then they start him in week 1. I just, dumb, to say the least. But you had to go through that, and then obviously Dart comes in, and unfortunately Neighbors goes down immediately, but Dart and Scataboo had this team rolling, that victory on Thursday Night Football against the Eagles. The Giants were riding high, and then we all know what happened in Denver. And then all of a sudden the wheels fell off. And then it was just another miserable year, firings, the whole nine. But there was a glimmer of hope there, and there was a recipe for success, and now you have that plus Harbaugh coming in. To me, that's a guy that can hone that, what we saw last year, and create more wins for this team. And by the way, I expect, and this is my, it's, I will tell you that this is not rooted in X's and O's. This is just me as a sports fan. This is just me as somebody who has watched sports, whether it's locally or nationally or whatever the case may be. The only thing that gives me slight pause with the Giants this year, because you always worry about this when this happens, because oftentimes it goes the other way. The Giants are going to enter this year with a ton of hype. I mean, if you've listened to me for the last hour, I've been hyping them up. But nationally, locally, the Giants are going to have a lot of hype. And they're going to have a lot to live up to. And sometimes when that happens, the teams fall short of those expectations. But you know what? It is what it is. We're talking about New York City. We're talking about a rock star quarterback as far as the looks, the way he played last year. We're talking about a Super Bowl winning coach coming here. Yeah, the Giants are going to have a lot of fanfare. They're going to have a lot of attention both here and nationally. The NFL is thrilled that they're back to being relevant. You're seeing it already with the primetime games. The NFL wants this market invested again. And we are. We have been very frustrated as a fan base for years. Fighting over these quarterbacks, fighting over these head coaches, and just fighting with each other. The infighting amongst Giant fans. For a couple of weeks there, we got to be football fans again last year. For a couple of weeks. Remember that? Leading into that Denver game, you felt like a football fan again. It was the trash talking. It was the previewing of the game. It was not all the other nonsense that has surrounded this franchise for years. The off the field, what's going on with the GM? They firing him. They firing the head coach. Why'd they do this? Why'd they do that? It was about football again. It was about the game. It was being a football fan, it's so much fun because you have that week buildup where you could trash talk online or whatever the case may be, or you talk about the game and the buildup, the anticipation for it. Where baseball and hockey and basketball, the train is always moving. We play a game here, we play a game here, we play a game here, day in, day out. Where football, you get that break and you get that anticipation and hype for the Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever the case may be. And we got a little taste of that as Giant fans last year. And then it was taken from us pretty quickly. But it felt good again to be a football fan and to actually feel like you have something there to hold on to and to grip onto. And now, fast forward to this year, to me, all the pieces are in place and the Giants are primed to make the playoffs. And that's where I'm at as far as my expectations. We'll get into the Jets coming up in the next hour. My 5 to 10 year plan for how they can become the Knicks where they're at now. Yeah, I know that sounds crazy, but the Knicks were where the Jets are now. So I'll explain that to you coming up in the next hour. We'll get into the baseball. So if you want to line up now with the baseball, trade deadline, Mets, Yankees, as we are at the midway point of the All-Star break. Mets, oddly enough, back tomorrow, and then they're off Friday, playing the Phillies down in Philadelphia. So everybody will be joining Juan Soto down there. And the Yankees, big one in the Bronx this weekend against the Dodgers. So we'll talk a lot about that, too. We're going to do an Ask Tommy Anything coming up at 10 o'clock. I'll explain what that is as well. 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Positive Tommy here in primetime. It's After Hours on The Fan.